worship and honor you. It is such a great honor and privilege, firstly, to know you. Secondly, to be able to be a partaker of your mysteries and your secrets. To be invited by you to participate in what you're doing in the earth in this hour. We don't take it lightly. We're extremely grateful. We enter your word now with the reverence that it deserves. We are fully conscious of our human limitations to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. And therefore, as I come to share your word, I come with all sense of awe and humility and ask for divine assistance and enablement, fresh unction and anointing, that I may speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. I ask the same unction be put upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me, those who are physically present, and those who will hear me remotely, electronically, wherever they are all over the world. This word will go, will have free course from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to be more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is thereby released. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit God be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. Father, I pray also for mercy that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom to cause your purpose in the earth in this hour to come to pass. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the people who are in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, I have a prophetic landmark message. Today it is entitled God's Appointed Time. I would like you to turn in your Bible to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, the second chapter. And we're going to be looking at verse 3. Habakkuk, the second chapter, and we are looking in verse 3. Habakkuk, incidentally, is one of what we call the minor prophets. And for those who may not be as familiar with their Bible as they should be, there are three major prophets: Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And then from Ezekiel, you've got Daniel and all the other minor prophets, you know, right up to Malachi, where the Old Testament, or what our Jewish brethren call the prophets, ends. The law is the book of Genesis to Deuteronomy. That's what's called the law. And then everything from Joshua straight to Malachi is called the prophets. And these minor prophets, in them we find the details, Old Testament shadows containing details about God's end time plan for the church. Majority of what, of all the detail, you will find it in, that's why I see it in Joel, you will see it in Habakkuk, you will see it in Zephaniah, and that's why all this stuff, you find it in the minor prophets. So in Habakkuk, in chapter 2, in verse 2, you know, I should read from verse 1. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. Then shall I answer when I am reproved. Verse 2, let us read together. It says, and the Lord answered and said, write the vision. make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is for an appointed time. And that's why I've titled this message, God's Appointed Time. God has appointed times and seasons in which he fulfills his purpose. But at the end, it shall speak. Turn to your neighbor and say, what is it? Then answer him and say, the vision. The vision will speak. Turn to your neighbor and say, I didn't know vision spoke. And then turn back and say, vision speak by coming into manifestation. At the end, it shall speak and not lie. In other words, everything the vision promised, you're going to see come to pass. Hallelujah. Though it tarry, oh my God. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Here the prophet Habakkuk, through the prophet Habakkuk, tells us that God is going to write the vision of his purpose in the Bible, and he's going to make it plain, he'll make it clear, so that the people who read it, this was not in Habakkuk's time, this was going to be right to the end of the age. That's why I gave that short intro on the minor prophets. Minor prophets actually deal, you know, primarily, not singularly, but primarily with end time. The major prophets too have end time to them, you know, but the minor prophets, their speciality, if you like, is they're chock full of revelation about the end time. So at the end, he says, it's going to speak. Write the vision, make it plain, so that it will motivate the people who live in that time to run. And that's what we're doing now, all this, you know, praying for the release of the Spirit without measure and all of that. I'll get back to that in a minute. You know, is running. We're running so that we can fulfill the vision. Then he gives us, and that's the reason for this message. He now tells us, he says, it will speak. It will not lie. Everything, you know, when I myself, by the grace of God, under unction, I go back and I look at the things God has said. They are wonderful. Sometimes you begin to wonder, will these things ever be? So God reacts, say, it will not lie. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. It will not lie. Amen. He says, it will speak. Then he says, now watch this. And this is the essence of this message. That's why I'm teaching about God's appointed. He says, do it tarry. Let me paraphrase that. And I'm going to read in the Amplified Bible. And what it means is that, though it seems to tarry to you, it's a paraphrase. But that's the spirit behind it. Because God never tarries. But to you, it may look as if it is tarrying. So though it seems to tarry to you, it will not tarry. Because it will surely, everybody say surely, come, it will not tarry. Now, let me have this in the Amplified, if you will. For the vision, I didn't hear you, is yet for an appointed time. I like this. And it hastens. See, God's in a hurry. Now, we always say God's not in a hurry. But what I mean is that God wants to end this age quickly. You know why? People are suffering every day. Just yesterday, Ireland. My wife was in shock. You know, my wife is an SU. You know, my wife is a Christian. My wife is just a nice, gentle Nigerian Ijebu girl. I was watching her expression. She said, honey, ha. You know, they just finished all the praying and all that with all this up there. And she was just about to eat. And she just saw it on CNN. I had seen it earlier in the day. You know, she said, Ireland care. Ireland is conservative. Ireland is Catholic. You know what my wife said? She said, I hate it all. It wasn't passed by the government, too. It was passed by the people. Referendum. 62% legalized gay marriage. If somebody told me, I would say, no, Ireland will never. Ireland is so conservative. The enemy has worked in the minds of men over time. That's why, brethren, we who are living, we need to understand this is the end. It's the end. Ireland! That's why God wants to hasten. He says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Redeem the hasten this thing. It hastens to the end. Fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Turn to your neighbor and say, it will not deceive. It will not disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly. The other day I talked to, and I'm going to mention again later on today, you know, active waiting, not passive waiting. See, patience is not just, the patient go mad, the Bible understanding of patience is an active consistency. And that's why I've exhorted us to this, all this praying for the release of the Spirit without measure. You know, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. Now, watch this. It will not be behindhand on its what? Appointed day. That's why I say it seems to be tarrying to you. That tarrying is relative. It's just to you. But as far as God is concerned, it's not going to be behind on its what? Appointed day. Now that day, only God knows it. Now I want, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me just say this. It's crucial that we understand this because, you know, many Christians are spiritual illiterates. What I mean by that, or spiritually uneducated, they know their Bibles, but they also know one part, they don't know the other part, and then they say all kinds of inaccurate things, is a better word, you know, to say, you know. And it is this. The Bible says we will not know the day or the hour, but it never said we will not know the time and the season. It's very important we understand that. So when we get up and say, oh, nobody can know. Yeah, we can't know the exact day. And I'm going to tell you the reason why as I go along, as the Holy Spirit permits me, why you can't know the day or the hour. Because there's certain conditions that have to be fulfilled. And those conditions are critical legal criteria that only God has an eye on. And it's the day they are fulfilled that He moves. And that's why God never, never, ever, particularly in this one we're going to be talking about today, He does not put Himself into a corner, you know, and that's why He gives Himself a time and a season, which now gives a range. That's why you can hasten the day, but you cannot change the time and the season. We'll see that in a minute. Now, next scripture. I want to stay with my script as much as the Holy Spirit helps me. Look at Psalm 81 verse 3. Now, King James here. There are many times, this is an example of them, of one. The King James, because it was translated by scholars, they just did what you call a word-for-word translation. If you go and check the King James at the beginning, it says, you know, by the, you know, sovereign grace of King James, mighty king of Ireland and Britain and France in those days, you know, the translation diligently compared. And that's one of the reasons why King James is so precious. Now, because it's Old English, sometimes the meaning is a little bit obscure to us, and that's why the modern translations are very important, particularly the Amplified, the New International Version, and many of the other modern, they help us to clarify the Old English. But when it comes to word-for-word translation, sometimes the King James is precious. And this is one of the occasions. If you see this in all the other translations, you will not see the word appointed. Only in the King James. All it just says in the other ones, just on our festival day, on the moon, full moon. But here, the King James translators, by going to the original Hebrew and actually writing exactly what was there, he says, blow up the trumpet. Oh, I didn't hear you. You're not talking like people who are blowing any trumpet. In the new moon. In the time appointed on our what? Solemn feast day. Now, you see a revelation here. And the revelation is this. That the appointed time coincides with the feast day. And with the moon. So you've got, everybody say, appointed time, feast day, moon. Let's say it again. Appointed time, feast day, moon. One more time. Appointed time, feast day, moon. That is how we know the time we are in now. I'm not through yet. Just keep this in your heart. We're going to come back. We're going to refer to it later on. You know. Then, another scripture. And now this one, we look at it in the King James, and we look at it in the Amplified. The Amplified says this in a wonderful way. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. And yet the Bible tells us this happened 6,000 years ago, you know, and God, you know, so how does that, you know, correlate with science? And then you have fossil bones of animals and things, and you do radioactivity and you check, you know, some of the things in the earth, and you see the earth is billions of years old. Yet the Bible tells us the earth was made in 6 days. In the book of Genesis, and you know, 6,000 years ago, so it doesn't seem to add up. The only way to understand that is you have to go back to verse 1 and 2, where verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. So you see that the earth was originally created billions and billions and billions of years ago. Then something happened. It's a satanic rebellion. There were people in the earth. It was inhabited. Then something happened, like a catastrophic destruction that caused a flood. That's why the Bible says that, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. So waters and all the things had been made long, 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 long ago. And then God now said, let there be light. And there was now a rearrangement, a reconstruction. So everything we see in Genesis chapter from verse 2 down was actually a reconstruction. So all this sun and everything else, they had been made long ago. All God just did was bring them back and put them in strategic places, you know, for the reconstructed earth that he had made. It's very easy to understand. For example, look at this. Look at this auditorium. At those windows. The windows, you know, were not made here. They were made in some factory somewhere. Then we ordered for them. Then they now brought the window from the factory and came to fit it here. When this auditorium was being renovated and all of that, you know, was just maybe a year ago, those windows could have been manufactured 2 years before, 3 years before, and they just keep them in the shop. And when we now order for them, they now bring the ones that they have made. Now, if you go and do an analysis on the window, you might find that the window is older than the auditorium. But it does not mean that window, what it means is that the window must have been made long before the auditorium was constructed. So it is with the sun. So it is with the moon. They made long ago. God just brought them and fitted them like a window in place. Is it clear? Yes, sir. May God help us to understand it. Amen. And God said, let there be lights. Yes. in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be. And let them be. And let them be. And let them be. For signs, for seasons, for days and years. Let them be. For how many things? So the moon is not only to tell you that it's a new month. Now it tells you that there's a new month. So we've gone from April to May to June, and anytime there's a once we move to a new month, we see a full moon. So it does tell us days, it tells us years, it tells us seasons. But that's not the thing. So far, it's also for signs. Now, honey, the good news is God did this ever before the devil and his people started their nonsense astrology. Hello. You see, Satan only takes what God has already made and distorts it. Do you understand? So the moon is not just, it's not only for the werewolf and all these horror films and stories that you see and all that. That's just a distortion. You know, originally, God set the sun and he set the moon to be for signs. In addition to being for seasons and for days and for years, we use them now for days and years and, you know, 24 hours in a day, 365 days a year. And they're there for that. But in addition to that, they're also used for signs. Amen. Now, let's see this in the Amplified Bible. It'll blow your mind. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day and night, and let them be. Oh, no, you have to give it to me in the New International. It's the New International I want. This one is good too, but let's quickly go to it because of time. Aha. This, the New International, I heard this from Derek Prince. He says it's one of the closest to the original Greek, because the scholars who did it, you know, they had an understanding of the Greek. So when they even paraphrase, they will give you the meaning of what the original Hebrew and the original Greek were actually saying. This is one example of it. He said, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. No, go back to the Amplified. There's one of the translations. I hope I haven't missed it. You know, oh my God. And let them be signs and tokens of God's provident care to mark seasons and days and years. My God, maybe it's one of the translations we don't have here. Let me give it to you then from my own Bible. Ooh. It says, it actually uses the word for sacred events. Isn't that amazing? Ooh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just a minute. Aha. Where is this? Ah, yes, the New International Version. It does. Let me tell you what my own Bible says. Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times. In other words, the heavens tell us when God's times, when God is doing something sacred on the earth. They don't only mark physical seasons of days and months and years, but he also marks spiritual seasons of God's purposes. This is the New International. I'm surprised your New International Version here. Bimba, what did you do? I got the original here. Hallelujah. To serve, it says it here. It says, and it's the New International Version. You know, it says, let them serve to as signs to mark sacred times. So the important point is this: the moon and the sun not only mark seasons, summer, winter, you know, fall, spring, you know, October, November, December, which it does, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they do that. But in addition to that, they are also for signs of sacred events. So by looking at the moon and the sun, we can tell when God is doing a sacred event, a holy event. That is why Psalm 81 verse 3, which we saw earlier, said that on our appointed day, on our solemn feast day. So it not only marks the beginning of a month, but it also, the moon can also be used and is used as a sign when God, or on the feast days, when God's purposes are being fulfilled on the earth. It's foundational, very important. Now, the next verse, the next scripture I want us to look at, God is having mercy on us, hallelujah, is in Psalm 102. The scripture we're very familiar with. And we're going to be looking from verses 13 through 15. Psalm, again, go back to the King James. I'll tell you when to move to the Amplified and the other translations when I want you to. It said, thou shalt arise. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. You're not sounding like people who want to arise. Aha, that's better. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Israel. Say, Pastor, is there any difference? Prophetically, yes. See, the Bible talks about Zion, it talks about Jerusalem, it talks about Israel. This, in prophetic understanding, it refers to three levels of the church. Zion represents the perfect church. It's out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. Jerusalem represents the place of revelation, you know. And observe, physically, Zion is inside Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem is inside Israel. It represents just the general church. In the book of Hebrews, Paul, you know, he's doing the same thing. You know, he talks about the general assembly. You know, he says, you are come unto Mount Zion. You know, unto the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn. So the Bible speaks and distinguishes, slight distinction. It's still the same church, but there's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So when it's talking about Zion, prophetically, it's speaking about the perfect church. That's why another scripture says, it's in Psalm 14, and one other place, you know, it repeats it, you know, somewhere else. It says, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. But I thought Israel and Zion are the same. It can't be. Salvation of Israel, that is the general church, comes out of Zion. Because out of Zion that saviors will arise. Is this clear? So God blesses the rest of the church out of Zion. Is it clear? All right. So, now this is Psalm 14. I think it's verse 7. Psalm 14, verse 7. Quickly, let's run there. Quick, and we'll come back to Psalm 102. Quick. Psalm 14, verse 7. Very good. Oh! It's a prayer. Oh! That the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be sad. Oh, there's different levels of the church. You know, Jacob is the 419 church. Israel is the church that has overcome the infirmities of Jacob and is now a prince and is walking uprightly. Yehoshua. Another message for another day. But it's good to understand these things. So when you read your Bible carefully. Read it meditatively. Don't just, you know, rush over those words. So, let's get back to Psalm 102, please. Excuse me. No, verse 13. We'll go to verse 14 in a minute. 13. Thank you. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion
For the time.
Here we go again. Appointed time.
For the time to favor her, yea, the what? Set. It's not just any time. There is a set time is come.
Notice the prophet is speaking prophetically. It hadn't come in his time. In fact, we're just entering that time now. And I'm going to show you how we know. You know, he says, for the time, there is an appointed time. There is a set time to favor not just General Church, but Zion. The perfect church. You know why? Because the salvation of the rest of Israel is going to come out of Zion.
Verse 14. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof.
Now, you know, if you're thinking physically, you're thinking that, oh, you go and start kissing all the... you know, when you get to Israel, I tell people do this. You know, you get and you kiss the ground. There's nothing wrong with that. That shows your love for Israel and that. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, prophetically speaking, you know, here it's talking about the servants there. Is speaking about the prophets. And they're taking pleasure in the revelation. They take pleasure in her stones. And that's why you see all of us getting excited now. We're taking pleasure in her stones. For the time to favor her has come. So all this revelation about perfection has been coming for the past 20, 30 years in great, great, great clarity with great, you know, power, because the servants, the prophets, are taking pleasure in her stones. Now, move on. Next verse. Verse 15. So the heathen...
Not hidden.
Hidden. It means the nations.
So the heathen shall fear.
They don't fear the name of the Lord now. That's why I get a good referendum yesterday. The church has become irrelevant. They all see us as... And nobody can say anything. The Pope can't talk. The Archbishop of Canterbury cannot talk. Nobody wants to be politically incorrect. Thank God for Nigeria. Only the Nigerian church, at least, you say you can do what you like, but here, give the Nigerian church a clap offering. And give the Nigerian government a clap offering. Am I allowed to prophesy? Amen. Thus said the Lord, it will never happen in Nigeria. Yeah. Thus saith the Lord, it will never happen in Nigeria. Yeah. You know why? The church in Nigeria is not sleeping. For where? For where? Legalized gay marriage in Nigeria? Anilowo. In our language, that means we have a lot of problems and we have a lot of faults. But that is not one of them. Give the Lord a clap offering. Even the ordinary man on the road in Nigeria say, God forbid bad thing. He may bribe somebody next to me too. But for that one, say, God forbid bad thing. That I am grateful for. I am grateful for. Praise the Lord. It may be one of the reasons why God loves us so much. You know God loves Nigeria. I mean, people know that God loves Nigeria. You know, we have our faults too. But there is something in the heart of the average Nigerian that is good. The Bible says, destroy it not, for there is good in it. Are you listening to me? We stood up. One of our Anglican bishops, he went to England and said, if you try it, we will pull out of the Anglican communion. Nonsense and rubbish. And they backed down. Because we had the biggest number of people in the Anglican church. They couldn't afford to alienate the Nigerian church. It will not happen in Nigeria. But you know, there's no fear of God. There's no fear. No fear.
So the heathen shall fear
the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. Stop. They cannot fear what they have not seen. You know why they will fear? Because they will see the glory in manifestation. Next verse. 16. When. Talk to your neighbor. Say when. Gives you time frame. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Let's do simple comprehension. Darling, you are an English person. Amen. When will the Lord appear in his glory? When built up Zion. Is that not so? So we now have three things. Hello? Hello? We have the feast. Let's say feast. We have the moon. And then we have the building up of Zion. Three signs. Everybody say, we have the feast. We have the moon. Then we have the building up of Zion. The glory cannot come until Zion is built up. The glory cannot come until the moon tells us it's time. The glory cannot come until the feast day comes. So we must not have a synchronization. We must not have an alignment of all the three factors. The feast, the moon, and the building up of Zion. It has never, all the three have never aligned in history until now. That's why we know it's now. It has never happened. We could have the moon, we may have the feast, but they never align. But when the moon, the feast, and Zion being built up, when all the three of them are aligned, then we know the day is upon us. And that's it. That is why we know that we are now in God's appointed time. Is it clear? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, let's quickly run through the scripture. I'm going to close soon, you know, concerning this. Look at Luke 21, 25. We looked at this when we talked about the blood moon tetrads. Now, this is why the sign in the moon and the sun tell us not only seasons and years, but to tell us the time of the sacred events. Now, for the first time in history, in the last 500, 600 years. And so I said, it happened 500 years ago. Yeah, it happened 500, 600 years ago, but Zion was not built up 500, 600 years ago. So the last sign was not there. And there shall be signs. I did not hear you. In the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations. How many people know we have distress of nations? You don't even have to be a prophet. There's distress in Nigeria. There's distress in... They just took Ramadi the other day. They're pushing towards Baghdad. There's distress all over the earth. Even Saudi. You know, nobody can sleep with two eyes now. You don't know what some crazy guy is going to do tomorrow. This guy in North Korea, the other day, he said he's now got mini nuclear warheads. Doesn't have to do anything. He's not very brilliant. He doesn't have to do anything smart. Just put a few radioactive material inside the thing, you know, concoct it together, put it on a rocket. Pew! It's enough to cause trouble. May God not allow it in Jesus' name. But it's not amen that's going to do it to his prayer. That's going to get into the air and control him. And then I'll do something stupid. You know, he's looking for attention all the time. He's always wanting. Ban Ki-moon was supposed to go to North Korea last week to go and inspect something. He canceled the trip. But I woke up one morning and it's canceled. The whole secretary of the UN. He's always looking for attention. So last week he now said, you people don't know, I have nuclear warhead. You know, all you need is a madman. Because when it starts, you don't end it. It's not 1939. It's not 1944. It's not 1941. Where it was just ordinary bomb. You just throw it somewhere and that's the end of it. When you throw a nuclear bomb, brother, you know, and the other guys must retaliate. Some of the things have even been programmed. There are already missiles that are already programmed by computer. Once it sees one that is coming from the enemy territory, it automatically released. It's a doomsday scenario. They call it MAD, mutually assured destruction. It will not happen until we go. And we're not going to do it just by loud amen. We're going to do it by prayer. That's why Zion must be built up. So that the heathen will fear. And all the kings thy glory. So that some silly boy won't just come and wake up one morning and just put the whole world upside down and put all of us in trouble. That's why they're so worried about Iran. You see, there are no good people in Iran. Iran is Persia. We're talking about them next week. You know, Iran is Persia. The Persian kings were even nicer to Israel than the Babylonian kings. Till today, there are Jews in Iran. Do you understand? So the problem is not so much Iran as radicals in their government and the fact that they cooperate with terrorists. So they get it and give it to one terrorist, and the terrorist goes and does something that Iran didn't even plan to do. But the problem is still there. That's why Israel is so worried about Iran getting it. Because Pakistan has nuclear weapons. India has nuclear weapons. They have terrorists too. But they don't have that kind of this thing with like Iran, where these crazy boys can just come pick something and do something. And there shall be signs, distress of nations with perplexity. We are there now. It's perplexity. Amen. The sea and the waves roaring. I've preached this before. You know, it's talk about the people. Everybody's shouting. The Chibok girls, bring back our girls. And even now, you know, the whole nations are complaining. People even here in Nigeria, you know, there's fuel problem right now. You know, all kinds of things. Corruption. All the signs are there. There shall be signs in the what? Sun. And what? In the moon. And in the stars. Then not only will you see signs, you also see the corresponding sign in the earth. We're there now. Next verse. Verse 26. Men's hearts, failing them for fear, and looking for those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. What we just sang about now. You know, seeing him come in his power. Let the spirit without measure rise within us. They come in your glory and in your power. He's not talking about the rapture. There is a reference to the rapture later on. But, you know, here in the manifold wisdom of God, it's talking about God's glory being made manifest in his church. When he builds up Zion, then he'll appear in his glory. So we see these signs. The moon, we see the feast, and right now we are in that time. In fact, we are in a four blood moon tetrad that has not happened for hundreds of years. It happened before. It happened at the time of Jesus, where Jesus was crucified. You know, it's happened again around the time Christopher Columbus, you know, discovered America. And it happened since then. But interestingly now, what we have now is an alignment of the feasts, not just Passover, but the Feast of Tabernacles, aligning with the four blood moon tetrad. There's one coming on in September as we're looking down now, just in a few months' time. You know, then on top of that, we've got the moon, we've got the feast, then we have Zion. That's why we're praying now. How do you build up the church? By the word and prayer. Which is what we've been doing. We're giving you the word and we're all praying in the spirit, building ourselves up. So we have all the conditions, the feasts, the moon, the building of Zion, all of them being fulfilled in synchronization. And the Bible says, when all these things are synchronized according to these scriptures, you know, then we know that the glory of God, he says, then when the Lord shall be told, he will appear in his glory. So we are right now on the verge of the appearing of the glory of God, the manifestation of the power of God, what the Bible calls, you know, the spirit without measure, the manifestation of the sons of God. And this is also typified in the book of Joel. Look at Joel chapter 2, and then we'll look at what we're going to do and close. Joel, hello, chapter 2, this is one of the minor prophets again, and look at verse 10. He's talking about the sun and the moon again here. Look at verse 10 and 11. My God, have mercy. He says, before them, before we go to verse 10, let me quickly, Jesus help us. He's talking about an army. It's a spiritual army. Look at verse 8. Hallelujah. Jesus help us. Look at the King James in verse 8. Verse 7. Let's look at verse 7. Okay. Verse 7 and 8. It says, they shall run. I didn't hear you. You're not sound like somebody who is running. You're not certainly sound like a mighty man. Like mighty men. They shall climb the wall. Like men of war. They shall march. Everyone on his own ways. Notice the instruction I gave you is your own will. You choose your own Tuesday. You choose your own Wednesday. You choose your own Thursday. You choose your day in the week where you're going to pray about the spirit without measure. Amen? Then you pray in the spirit. So you march in your own way. Watch this. And they shall not what? Break ranks. Everybody will be doing his own part. Then you have this great army all synchronized together, presenting a common front to the enemy. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Verse 8. Neither shall one thrust another. Love, forgiveness, mercy. They shall walk, everyone, in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. The armor is so good, the sword cannot penetrate. Put on the whole armor of God, which is the armor of love. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, it says, you know, nothing will be able to destroy him. Nothing. Give me, it's in verse 20. 1 John chapter 5. It says, whoso believeth keeps himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. That's it. Verse 20. Oh, is it 20? 18, excuse me. Thank you. Verse 18. We know whosoever doesn't sin or doesn't practice sin, and he that is broken, he keeps himself in the love of God. And the wicked one, what? Toucheth him not. The sword will not penetrate. Hello, somebody. Now go back to Joel and jump to verse 11. Verse 10. Joel chapter 2, verse 10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be what? Dark. That's the blood moon tetrad and this ellipse of the eclipse of the sun. We've seen all of these things since April 2014. It's a season. It's not one day. It's spread over time. We've seen all of this now. And the last one we're going to see in September, which actually coincides, September 28th to be exact, you know, it coincides with the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. The stars shall withdraw their shining, verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. His camp is what? Very great. He is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is what? Great and very terrible. Who can? It's exactly the same thing he says in Malachi, where he says the Lord will come suddenly to his temple. You know, he shall be like a refined fire. So who shall stand when he appeareth? Who shall abide? So the coming of the Lord is not coming as Jesus in the rapture initially. He's going to come in an army of people. And that's why I'm raising you up. And I've instructed you by the help of the Holy Spirit to begin to pray this united prayer in the Spirit. So you're forming a part of that army that's going to release this Spirit without measure. The time, the appointed time is upon us, because we have for the first time the synchronization of all the three signs. The sign of the feast, the sign of the moon, and then we also have the building up of Zion. It is right here upon us. Now let me just say this. I have to reiterate this. You know, no one knows the other hour. Nobody knows. You know why? We've had two feasts that have been fulfilled in the Bible. There are three feasts, three major Jewish feasts. There is Passover. That's been fulfilled when Jesus was killed. And from that time on, we've been experiencing Passover every time we get born again. There's Pentecost, which was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came and began to speak in tongues. But that was a spirit with measure. And thank God that's been fulfilled. The Pentecost was on a specific day. Passover was on a specific day. There was the day of Passover where the lamb was killed. But tabernacles, of all the three feasts, does not specify. There is a day it begins, there is a day it ends. It spreads over about 8 or 7 days. And when we even look at the symbolic shadows in the scripture, in the life and the ministry of Jesus, we see two things. The first one we see is that it talks in John chapter 7. He said, when the feast of Isaiah went in secret. Is there, but they don't know it's there. Now, the Bible says about the middle of the feast, very deliberately, so you cannot put a day and an hour on it. It was not the middle of the feast is 7 days, 8 days, maybe the third day, fourth day, fifth day, all of that. So that's why we cannot know the day or the hour. It's somewhere in there, but we do not know the exact day or the hour. All we know and can prepare for is the season and of the time. It's very important that we understand this. And it's peculiar to tabernacles. Then at the last day of the feast, Jesus now gets up and says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. After the thing has manifested, then anybody wants to get his borrowed anointing, come in. So we are now in that time. We are now in that time. So what do? We wait actively by watching and praying. We've read Habakkuk 2:3, where it says, we should, if though it tarry, wait for it. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 37 and 35 to 37, and we're going to close with that, and Galatians chapter 5. Actually, Paul is quoting the same Habakkuk, but he now, you know, tweaks it by the Spirit, you know, for an application to the coming of the Lord in the end time. He says, cast not away. I didn't hear you. Therefore, your confidence, which has great what? Turn to your neighbor and say, what is that reward? I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. What is the reward that we are waiting for? It is the Spirit without measure. Colossians tells us this is the reward of your inheritance. The inheritance, what we inherit as Christians is not houses, is not cars, is not visa. The reward is the Spirit without measure, which will give you houses, which will give you car, which will give you visa. But the reward of a Christian, this end time, the reward we're looking for, and notice this thing is not a gift, it's a reward. He said, don't cast away your confidence. Don't tarry, wait for it. It's going to come. It will not disappoint. It will not lie. So don't cast away your confidence. Hence this message of the appointed time. Which hath what? Great recompense of reward. Next verse. For you have need of what? I didn't hear you. You have need of that before you do the will of God. Do you see why? By the help of the Holy Spirit, as a prophet, as a pastor, you know, I'm exhorting us to do the will of God, to build up Zion. You know all of Israel is going to do it to Zion. See why I've been telling you, pray. Watch and pray always. See, after you have done the will of God, I didn't hear you, you might receive the promise. What promise? What promise? Is it a promise of a car, or a promise of some material blessing, or a promise of a child? No! What promise? Next verse tells us the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. So it's the promise of his coming. The promise of the coming of his glory. That's why it's in one accord. We're not praying for two agendas. We're praying for only one. The spirit without measure. You know, when it comes, all the other things will come. The car will come, the baby will come, the husband will come, the visa will come, the healing will come. You know, let's focus on one thing. The release of the spirit without measure. He that shall come will come. Let's have this in the Amplified quickly. Let's quickly tweak it to the Amplified, this 37. No, 37. For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay. So the person is a person. Is Jesus coming in his church in the fullness of his glory. Finally, Galatians chapter 5. It says, if any man draw back, the other verse says, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Don't your neighbor say, we're not going to draw back. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not drawing back. Hallelujah. That's why I didn't read it. How many people want to draw back? I'll be shaking luck halfway. Say, I'm not drawing back. Say, I'm not drawing back. I will not draw back unto perdition. Hallelujah. But I will believe unto the saving of my soul. That's the mind, the will, and the emotions. I'm going to believe this soul is going to be saved. I said my soul is saved. My will is totally submitted. My mind is totally enlightened. My emotions are totally controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a saved soul. I will not draw back. Oh, say it. Until my soul is saved, so that the glory can appear through me. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Don't draw back. Oh. Though it seems to tarry into you, don't draw back. Galatians chapter 5 verse 5. And this is the last scripture. For we through the Spirit wait. How do I wait? Through the Spirit. I don't just wait, shall? It's not a passive waiting. I just wait and I'm looking. Hey, one day Jesus will come. Oh, one day the glory will happen. Oh. No. We wait through the Spirit for the hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We wait through the Spirit. Everybody say, wait through the Spirit. Everybody say, wait through the Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are in God's appointed time. We know. Because the feast, the moon, and the building up of Zion are all synchronized at this time. Therefore, though it tarry to me, I will wait. I will wait. I will not draw back. I will wait through the Spirit until he comes. Let us pray. Talk to God. It's a prophetic landmark message. And that's why the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures, Like Daniel, the Bible says he had understanding of the times. He understood from the books the number of years. Book of Chronicles says the sons of Issachar had on what Israel ought to do. We understand the times. It's clear to us now. We've had so different signs before. It's never been the Feast of Tabernacles because Feast of Tabernacles has never been fulfilled. Pentecost has been fulfilled. Passover has been fulfilled. But Tabernacles has never been fulfilled. Now we have Passover aligning with the moon, with the blood moon tetrad, and the building up of Zion. So we know it's God's appointed time. So what are we to do? Wait through the Spirit. Pastor, when is it going to happen? I don't know. I do not know the day or the hour, but I do know that we are in the time and we're in the season. And that's why the building up now is critical. I got news for you folks. This is going to happen. The question is whether you're going to be a part of it. That's the issue. As I speak, there are people all over the earth that I don't even know that are praying in the Spirit for this thing. I shared some of that with us last week. You know, other people, you know, we just have a burden. They don't even understand all the things we understand. They just have a burden that God must do something. And they're praying with all their heart. And God is joining all those prayers together. Millions of Christians, hundreds of Christians all over, aligning their prayers together in the unity of the Spirit to release the Spirit without measure. We have to understand the times in which we're living in. Over 100 years ago, in the 1880s into the early 1890s, this same thing that is happening now happened then. Pockets of Christians, primarily in England and in America, began to sense that there was something beyond the Passover, the born-again experience. That they needed to press into a deeper dimension of God. They began to pray in America, in Wales, and 1901, 1904, 1906, the power of the Holy Spirit began to be poured out upon the church. And from there on, it just spread like wildfire. It was a reenactment of the Feast of Pentecost. Fast forward to today. Over 100 years later, we're in that same place now. The Holy Spirit is stirring the hearts of His people. There's something beyond Pentecost. There is a spirit without measure that we must inherit. The challenges of the 21st century will not be solved by the spirit with measure. The problem I just spoken about, look at Ireland. Immorality becoming law. It's not going to be solved. The problem of ISIS and religious dogma and religious fundamentalism is not going to be solved. It's going to be solved by the Spirit without measure. That is what it goes says. The heathen shall fear thy name. And all the kings of the earth, that's the only thing they're going to be afraid of. The manifestation of the glory of God. God is privileging you and I to get in on the ground floor. It's like when they're selling stocks. And then you have the privilege of being one of the first people who can buy. Don't waste this opportunity. Hence this message.
The train of His robe fills the temple. The cloud of heavenly worship surrounding His throne.
Yes, mine eyes.
On your eyes. Jesus spoke to the Laodicean church. He said, buy of me eye salve that thou mayest see. I'm not saying you're blind, but I am saying you need to see more clearly. We need to see more clearly so that we will be single-minded. And like the apostle told us, we will not draw back. But we will wait through the Spirit. God has been so kind to us to show us what is coming. And not only to show us, to position us in a place of privilege as a first of first fruits, to give us understanding of what we ought to do. He has not asked us to do anything complicated. He has asked us to wait through the Spirit. He says it will surely come. It will not disappoint. It will not be behind on its appointed day. Put one hand on your eye, put the other hand to heaven. I'm going to pray, but before I pray, I want you to pray. Ask for clearer revelation. Clearer. God, open my eyes. Let me see. He says, write the vision. Make it plain that he that seeth it may run. The reason why some people are not running is because they're not seeing anything. They are hearing what we are saying. They can hear the English words I'm saying. But what are you seeing in your heart? And therefore, how are you running? Do you only pray when you come to church? When you come on Saturday for Gideon and when there are people around? What do you do in your closet? Do you break rank? Or are you running like a mighty man? Oh, God is asking these questions. The Holy Ghost. They're rhetorical questions. The Holy Spirit is throwing out to us. You know why? He loves us here so much. I can tell you as your pastor. He says, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure. It is God's good pleasure. God is interested in seeing you get the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. This scripture pastor is the Philadelphia church. So you have little strength, not large number. It's a factory kind of church. Many people have come through these doors over the last 30 years. They are all over the world. In recent times, God has reconnected me back with so many people by His Spirit. I didn't plan it. And I've got them on this thing. I said, look, you start praying wherever you are. And they're doing it. Oh, let it not be the first will be last and the last first. It is the Father's good pleasure, little flock, to give you the kingdom. He wants you to get it. He wants you to carry that glory. After all you've heard in these last 30 years, 10 years, 15 years, wherever, at whatever point in time you came into some of these things. Oh God, run. Run, run, run like a mighty man. Run to get the reward. Run to inherit the kingdom. Don't worry about anything else. Any other need in your life, now let it be secondary. This is the primary thing. Because once it comes, all the other things will come. Trust me. Put the hand on that eye. Raise the other hand to God. I want everybody's hands on their eyes. It's a prophetic instruction. Except for those who are playing and the musicians. But every other person, those, you, God will touch you by His Spirit. But apart from them, you hands up, one hand up, one hand on your eyes. And say, Father, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, have mercy on us as we pray. I thank you for your prophetic word revealing to us now that we are in the appointed time and season because of the synchronization of your feast, the signs in the moon and in the sun, and the building up of Zion by your word and by your Spirit. Father, have mercy on me. For the set time to favor Zion has come. And I'm a part of Zion. Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. To be faithful, not to break rank, to run like a mighty man, to wait for this glory, even though to me it looks as if it has been tarrying. But help me, Lord, to wait earnestly, diligently, by the Spirit, watching and praying, not drawing back until I see your glory that will cause the heathen and the nations to be afraid and put to silence the ignorance of foolish men and vindicate your glory like David did when he defeated Goliath. Oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me to run and to obtain your glory. Nekatofredegash. Zifrininge takitofredes. Likotolomoshagitofrene. Tolomotufridisk. Ningananga tangatungatala shayiko. Nikotolomotufresh. Lombre tolomotufritufresh. Tolomotufredefredofresh. Zifri. Rika tofreneng langar jeki tofri rakatasko riba predeli yukoto nokoto nekatala jela prika tolomo tolomo tofri de freshe lambrito nekatoloma shaya yakatofri rino tolomo shelengaro zifridilis nekatolo nera dileme jeli cross Nikutulo mangaras, nikuturas, jikitus, ramaras, nikutaras, liprenelas, jikitofrines, leranas, zifrines, nundirias, jikuturas, nofredeles, zufridi, nambras, in Jesus' name. Put one hand on your body, the other hand up as we pray for our healing. You need to be well so you can carry the glory. One Hebrew word for the word glory is heavy. A sick body can't carry the glory. Can't. Can be healed and helped, but he can't carry it. Don't play with your health. Don't play with your health. The spiritual is the foundation. Then there are other things, the natural laws, the health laws, the laws of rest, medicine, diet, exercise. I'm 56 years old. I still exercise. I exercise this morning. I got up at 4:30. Prayed. Exercised for about 5-10 minutes. 5 minutes. I've discovered something about exercise. The power is in the consistency. Nobody has time to go to a gym and spend 2 hours every week. Most people don't have that kind of time. But you can do plug it into your prayer life. As you're finishing your prayers before you go into the bathroom, just quickly do 10 press-ups, stretch, run on the spot, very fast, stop, very fast, stop, very fast, stop, 15 seconds, fast, 15 seconds, do 2 minutes. By the time you're ready, your adrenaline, everything is pumping. Okay. But you do it every day, do it 6 days a week, 7 days a week. You know, it's equivalent to the guy who's going to the gym and he's trying to spend 3 hours, you know, and he's not doing anything. The power is in consistency. You need to be strong. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Sickness has no legal right. It has no legal right in my body, and I am not permitting it, because Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, setting me legally free from sickness and disease. By his stripes and the suffering in his physical body, I am legally free from sickness, and I appropriate by faith now that legal right in the name of Jesus. Therefore, I say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection life and power, I am healed. I release resurrection healing power into my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidneys, all my internal organs, all my blood vessels, into every cell, into every cell, into the DNA, in the nucleus of every cell of my body, and I declare function error free in Jesus' name. I say, I am healed and I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Now pray in the spirit. Pray with violence. The violent take it by force. Don't pray gentleman prayer. In the spirit, pray with intensity. The Amplified Bible says, with intense exertion. The effectual fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Nela makatora matangi toske frenenges. Rime prenea. Jele prika tala makatuske frenes. Lingare matolo moshalas. Nire miras. Jele briros. Zefrinia. Jele bringaras. Zofrinilis. In Jesus' name. Just before we take the benediction, I want to remind you of the necessity for intensity in prayer. It's not so much the noise as it is the inner tenacity. You are dealing with a bad enemy. He won't spare you, so don't spare him. A friend of mine said this many years ago. It came to my heart as we were praying. I know I tongues by Yeshuje. He said in Yoruba. He said, Olubije kafi tongues by Yeshuje. Means we use tongues to scatter the life of the devil. When we had our second baby, Dara, was in Olior Hospital. Baby fine. Then Go to the hospital. The baby was breech. Breech presentation. So the baby couldn't come out. So Dr. Marino and the doctor said, okay, we have to do a cesarean section. They rolled her into the theater. They gave her anesthesia. True story. Anesthetic. My friend and I, while Eddie Koya from Ivory Coast, who were in the another room, he said, Olupicheka, pray. God's we're all praying. But we stepped up the intensity. You know, there's just something about, that's why this is the fervent hot boiling. We began to pray. I didn't care whether I was in any hospital. We're praying in tongues. Began to pray and pray and pray. Dr. Marino was the one who told me this story personally. Went up to the operating table. They checked everything, the anesthesia, everything, the drug had been applied, everything. He was about to cut. They cleaned everything. He was about to cut. He said, let me just check one last time. To check. He said, no, the baby has turned. He said, and the baby's coming out. Under anesthesia, all your muscles are already, you cannot push. You cannot deliver a baby normally under anesthesia, but it happened. Give the Lord a clap of. I just remember when I was praying. The Holy Ghost was just right. He said, do you remember how you prayed that day? And I remembered. And I remember what Wally said. He said, Jeka fitongs baye shuje. Fitongs baye shuje. Said it in Yoruba. Use tongues to destroy. That's the, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You don't destroy by being gentlemanly. It's war, man. It's war. I can't destroy anything like that. You destroy a person that is on a path of, I'm talking about positive destruction now, you know, not a bad destruction of the words of the devil. You do it with the violent take by force, intense exertion. Yeah, pray, you don't stop this Mickey Mouse praying. You're not going to get anything done. I was sharing with some people yesterday. I said, when you pray, you take three positions. You kneel for some time. When you are tired, you stand up. Then you'll be walking around. When you are tired, you sit down. When you feel you're getting tired again, you stand up again. You're in constant motion. Because you have a job to do. Don't mess with Satan. No. Not especially you who come to Scripture Pastor. And all that you hear every Sunday. You are his public enemy number one. Don't mess with him, oh. Mess with him. Deal with him. Because if you don't deal with him, he will deal with you. That is simply, but it's just the truth. So when you are praying, recognize power is coming out of your mouth. Destroy him. Destroy his works. Pray with vigor. Pray with strength. Pray with intensity. Because you know what you're doing. Mommy, come. Join us, somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. I said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. I said you will live and you will not die. I said you will live and you will not die. You will live and you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn up and say, you wait for the glory of God through the Spirit. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week.